Well, tonight I want to dive back into where we were last week. We were talking through several different things about divine convergences. Just to remind you, this has been kind of springing off a term that was used by Pastor E.Z. Swain, who preached here several weeks ago now. And we've just kind of been launching into this idea that God is crossing our path with other people, and we want to be ready for that. And so we talked about what a convergence is. We've talked about God's mission in the world and our intentions, and sometimes we're very intentional in our evangelism and reaching out to somebody, and we're very purposeful. Other times it's just as we go along our way. And sometimes there's that direct impression where the Lord just kind of moves in us to say, go talk to this person, or this is what I want you to say, or this is the person I want you to reach out to. And sometimes we don't know what to say, but we know we're supposed to talk to him. And so we live in all three of those areas, not any particular one of them, I think. And so and then we see God do things, and we begin to ask the question, why does this happen? Why do we get to have these encounters? And it's because God is sovereign and he's directing the affairs of people. And so he puts us in places, if we're open to it, he puts us in places and we begin to realize that we really are on a mission. We might be going to Publix, but God's got us on a mission. And so it is by the grace of God that we do what we do. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What was he? He was a preacher, a teacher, an apostle. And so he didn't get there by being smart. He didn't get there by being creative. He got there by calling. And God's grace was working in his life. He was a blasphemer. He hated Christians. He hated the church. And isn't it God's grace then to take that guy and be one of the primary teaching apostles in all of the New Testament? And so we said that really what's happening is that God is on a mission in the world, but he's not doing it independent from us. He's doing it actually through us. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. Every story you heard tonight from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ was God making an appeal through their intentions and their boldness or their obedience, or they're just stepping out there and just walking by faith. God was making an appeal through them, whether it was a full gospel conversation or an invitation or whatever it may be. 2 Corinthians 4:17 again, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. And of course, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. All of that relates to this idea of evangelism and reaching out. And so then we said the key is opportunity. Really, this is the key. This is taking the opportunity. The Bible's full of opportunity. Colossians 4:5, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, unbelievers, people outside the church, making most of the what? Opportunity. And some of you have made the most of an opportunity. Think about that. You made the most of an opportunity. You had an opportunity, and you made something out of it. That's a command of Scripture. And so something is to be said for serving others with the gospel in mind. If it's a flower from Publix, Galatians 6, so then while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Maybe it's listening for half an hour to somebody who is saying unusual things so that you have the opportunity. So these are wonderful things. And we're planting, we're watering seeds. We talked about all of that in 1 Corinthians 3, about Apollos and Paul watering and planting. We all are different, working in different stages in people's lives. And you never know if the seed you plant, somebody else will water, or maybe you're watering a seed that somebody else planted. And that's how God does it. So we said, how can we have these convergences? So we first assume we're not anywhere by chance. We've kind of said that. And then we have these encounters. And the way I said it this way is that one way you can kind of test an encounter with somebody is just to be interested in their life. a lot of times that will let you know if the Lord has something in mind for this conversation. But if we're just being interested in somebody, a lot of times that's how it starts. And so we're interested, we ask questions, and then we kind of see what happens. Being interested in asking questions many times opens the door for further conversation. And half the battle is getting a conversation going with somebody so that you can see if God is at work in this person's life in a very specific way. We could say in a way that God is at work everywhere and at all times, but maybe there's something special that's supposed to happen. How am I going to find that out? I think it's just a matter of being interested in asking questions. For some of you, that's very easy. Your personality just kind of jives with that. It comes easy to you. You can be standing in line somewhere. And of course, we're not saying that all of evangelism is with people that you never know or you don't know. Sometimes it's with people you've known for many, many years. But for some of you, that's very easy. For some of you, that's very difficult. That's just not who you feel like you're wired to be. But I don't think there's any way for us to escape the idea that we can be interested in somebody and ask them questions. I think every personality can do that in your own way. And then the rest, you see what God does with it. As simple as, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? More than just a flippant how are you, but how are you doing today with a sincere thing? And this is one of the questions we asked. And then we talked about invites to church. I really think that's a valid way to start a gospel conversation. I think that is, the context of the church is so important. And what I know and what you know is that most people, not everybody at all times, but many people are lonely and they really don't have the kind of relationships that you get to enjoy and I get to enjoy within the context of the church. And so there's an inner longing for more social relationships in many people's lives. And the context of the church provides that. We have had people come through the door saying, basically, I'm alone. I just thought I needed to be here. And there's this human interaction that's needed. And when people are met with love, then many times God uses that in their life. So we share the gospel through our invitation to a church worship service or a Sunday school class or an event or something like that. Depending on how much time you have, then the conversation can progress from there. I shared with you some experiences about that last week with my life. But I want to go back to the reality that if you ask questions, you will probably know what to do next by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And after the invitation you may give to somebody, you can always ask another question. Now, I call this the best question ever, because this has been the most productive way that I've been able to start a conversation with somebody about spiritual things. I learned this from my seminary president in an evangelism class in my first semester in seminary. The president of the school taught the class on how to share the gospel. And his method, and I'd never heard this before, but he said, if you're talking with somebody and maybe you've invited them to church, one of the best questions you could ever ask somebody is this: do you ever think about spiritual things? 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 That's a great question. It's not a threatening question. It's not you saying, would you sit down and let me tell you some spiritual things? It's just you're inquiring. So you're the one asking them what they think. You know, a lot of people like to tell you what they think. They like to tell you about their life. Most people don't mind talking about themselves. Not everybody, but most people. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Write that down. And I want to just kind of throw out a challenge to everybody tonight, that you would be looking for an opportunity to actually ask that question. Because what happens after that question many times kind of directs the conversation automatically. And Grace said last week what many of you have experienced when she was sharing with a guy at the coffee shop. She said she started talking with him and asking him some questions, and then things started coming out of her mouth that she didn't even know she was prepared to say. That's happened in my life many times. I've thought, I don't even remember memorizing that verse Or I didn't even, you know, looking back, I don't think I could have thought up what to say to that person. I think God really gets involved. If you want to experience God, I think part of that is getting out there in that conversation. And one way, not the only way, one way is to ask this question. So let's just all ask the question together. Here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Do you ever think about spiritual things? One more time. Do you ever think about spiritual things? See, you said it twice now. Now, the key now is to ask it to somebody. Now, there's going to be an answer to the question. I've been asking this question since 1990, when I first went to that class. I think that's about right. So how many years ago is that? 31 years I've been asking this question. I do not remember anybody saying, no, I never think about spiritual things. But as far as I can remember, every person I've ever asked that question said, yes, because people do. God has put eternity in the human heart. The answer to that quest of eternity is not present until people learn the gospel, okay? You don't get this automatically. You have to learn it. You have to hear it. That's why we go out. That's why we share. That's why we send missionaries. But people are asking spiritual questions. Children naturally ask spiritual questions. People ask spiritual questions. And nobody ever in my life has ever said no to that answer, to that question. So, now sometimes you have to think about what to do next. So this will be very, very practical, okay, tonight. You kind of want to help that conversation. So after they say, yes, I do think about spiritual things, then you need to kind of come up with, in your own way, I think, a transitional statement to that question. Okay, so if you're going to use this way of getting a conversation going, let's think about that for a minute. Like, for instance, I'm going to give you a few examples to how you could, if somebody says, yeah, I think about spiritual things all the time. Or yeah, I think about spiritual things. They're just answering your question. Here's something you could say. You could say, well, one of the spiritual things I think about a lot is that God has made a way to know him, and most people don't realize that. And then you can share. Now, actually, I had one before that. Back up a little bit. There's Lisa. Well, you need to listen to their answer to the question. I thought I had that in there. But then you come up with these other ways. And another thing you can say to that question is, and this would have been my first one, is to say, well, when you, and this is the way Dr. Gray used to teach it to us, do you ever think about spiritual things? Yeah, I think about spiritual things. Oh, really? So when you do think about spiritual things, what are some of the things that you think about? Think about that. You're asking them to elaborate on the fact that they think about spiritual things. In the process of them answering that question, what kind of things do you think about, or what kind of questions do you have, many times you will know what to do next about where this conversation is supposed to go, because they're going to say something that's going to trigger in you a thought. And now, guess what? You're in a spiritual conversation simply by asking that question. Sometimes you don't even have to ask, what kind of things do you think about when you think about spiritual things? This happened to me yesterday. We had a little incident on the property. I had to call the police, and the police came out, and we dealt with the issue, and then Zach and I were talking with the police officer, and in the course of the conversation, I invited him and his family to church, and he was open to the idea, and so I said, hey man, Easter's coming up, would love for you to your family to come visit us on Sunday for church, is that something you'd be open to? And he said, I would. So now I've invited him to church. Now we need to go from the church invitation to a spiritual conversation. And I don't even want to overcomplicate it at all. I just said, do you ever think about spiritual things? You know, that's natural. Love for you to come to church. Well, I'd be open to that. Do you ever think about spiritual things? And he said, yes. And before I could even ask him, well, what kind of things do you think about? He told me. And he was very honest with his approach to God, or as he said, or whatever that is. He was honest about his understanding or lack of understanding or wondering about that. And he kind of went on for a few sentences, and that allowed me to kind of follow up on that and talk about, you know, God has the answers to our questions, and probed a little more, found a Catholic background. Well, then you know about Jesus dying on the cross. Yes, oh yes. And so we could talk through that. And so I'm not going to go into the whole conversation, but my point is that conversation had an opportunity because of that question. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Can we say it again, please? Do you ever think about spiritual things? I'm telling you, God uses that question. So, let's think about some more transitional statements. Here's another one. After you've been talking back and forth a little bit, you've asked them to give them your answer, their answer to how they think about spiritual things. Now it's in your court, and now that's when the next question makes sense. You wouldn't say this right away because you want to listen to what they have to say first. And one of the spiritual things that I think about, and he's been talking, and I say, is that God has made a way for us to know him, and most people don't realize they can know God. And that gives me the chance to go on. Or I might say, here's another one. One of the spiritual things I think about a lot is how amazing it is that God loved us so much that he actually came here in the form of a human being to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard that before? And whether they say yes or no, I can carry on from that point. Here's another one. One of the spiritual things I think about is how wonderful it is to know God personally. I can't really imagine living without him. Joe, do you know God personally? Have you ever thought about a personal relationship with God? Do you know him personally? Well, yes, no. Then I'll know where to go from there. Or I might say, that's very interesting. After they give me their answer, let me ask you, have you ever heard the phrase, Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Now think about that question. That opens the door wide open. If I say to them, hey, that's very interesting, the things you think about spiritually, he's told me that. Let me ask you, have you ever heard the phrase, Jesus died on the cross for our sins? What do you think most people would say to that? Yes, most people have heard that. Now, you may run into somebody who hasn't. I will never forget the day I was over here in Forest Ridge. I've told this story many times, but I was over here in Forest Ridge inviting kids to Vacation Bible School. And I said, you know, hey, we're going to sing songs and tell a story about Jesus. And he said, who's Jesus? Ask me, who's Jesus? Somebody in America is asking, who's Jesus? My eyes were open to the lack of understanding, the lack of biblical knowledge, even about who Jesus is. But, so you may run into that. So if they say yes, I've heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins, then you can say, oh, good. What do you think that means? That's just an honest question. I'm just curious to what do you think that means? Their answer to that question will tell you what to do next. If they say no, you can say, oh, well, it's rather a startling statement, isn't it? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But do you mind if I draw you a picture that will explain what it means? And then I will use the bridge illustration that I've shared with you many times. And these aren't condemning statements. These are not, you know, in-your-face statements. These are conversational statements. After you've listened to them, sometimes you have to listen a while, and then you have now the right to ask a question. So these are just kind of my things that I use that I just want to share with you that kind of get you going in some areas to this question, do you ever think about spiritual things? Circling back to that, if you got to know, well, you would need the Lord's guidance and help in answering that question. I think if I got to know from somebody, no, I never think about spiritual things. I think my response would be a little more pointed, and I'd probably say, really? You think this is all there is? Do you think this is really all there is? I'm just curious. Some people will say that that's what they believe. Some people will say, make atheistic statements, and by the end of the conversation, they will reveal that they really do believe in God. Case in point of what Jim just said. I don't believe there's a God. And at the end of the conversation, he's saying, I'd really like to know God. That's a very revealing conversation, Jim, and it's instructive for us. Don't ever, ever take at face value somebody's statements of atheism. Because as we're going to see in a moment, Romans 1 makes it very clear, there really are no atheists. Because God has made it evident to them. That's what the Bible says. God has made it evident to them. There's denial of a God, but you will find many times people starting off with things they've heard other people say or whatever. By the end of the conversation, you realize they really do believe that there's something and there is someone to know. So I would just say politely, I think you're missing out, man. Or, depending on their attitude, I might have to say, you know, that's kind of dangerous to not think about spiritual things because there's a spiritual reality all around us. So this is just a practical approach to getting a conversation from a church invitation to an actual spiritual conversation. Asking the question, do you ever think about spiritual things? And then the follow-up question, I want to be very clear about this because I was a little confused about it in the way I was saying it. The follow-up question to that is, well, when you do think about spiritual things, what kind of things do you think about? And then what do? With that? We listen. We listen. And we ask follow-up questions. Oh, so now tell me more about that. And you're being interested in them. Man, when people feel like you're genuinely interested in them, many times they will tell you the world. Or it's maybe you're the first person that's been interested in them in years. Same thing with praying for somebody. If you pray for somebody out in the world, you just stop. You know, I think I told you about the lady in the elevator. And I said, how you doing? She said, well, somebody stole $50,000 from me. I got it back, but it sure wore me out. I was like, wow. Started talking to her. I said, can I pray for you? She said, oh, please do. Prayed for her. And I thought, I wonder if anybody's prayed for her, and who knows? Maybe, I don't know. Probably in her case, probably they have, but there's many people who've never, nobody's ever prayed for them. You do it, they'll never forget it. Okay, what are some other things we can do, some other questions we can answer, or ask people? I've got a few more minutes, so I just want to throw out some things. Some of you have learned this from years ago, maybe through what we call evangelism explosion. Here's two more great questions that can come. Some of you have never heard this, so that's why I want to share it. There's two great, what we call diagnostic questions you can ask somebody. They're a little more higher level than, do you ever think about spiritual things? They're more pointed, they're a little more personal, but, you know, at some point you want to get into this conversation. And if you've already asked the spiritual question, you can ask them, let me ask you another question. Here's two questions that go kind of together. Here's the first one. If you were to die today, do you think you would go to heaven? If you were to die today, do you think you would go to heaven? Now, that's begging a yes or no answer. Now, most people won't give you a yes or no answer. Natural conversation, they will give you more than a yes or no, but you're asking basically, do you think you would go to heaven? Now they may say, I don't believe in heaven. Well, that tells you another direction to take the conversation. Or they may say, I don't know if you can know. Well, if I was the person you're talking to and you asked me that question and I said, you know, I don't know if you can know that. Right now, in most of your minds is an answer to what I'm saying. Some of you may be thinking, oh, well, you can know. And maybe just nobody ever told you. Or you might say, you might think, well, I used to think that way too. But then I learned that you could know that you could go to heaven. So there's things that God will do once this conversation, that's part of my message tonight, is to say, if you will step out in faith and start a conversation, you will be amazed at how God will give you stuff to say. Did he not tell the disciples that? I will tell you what to say when you get there. Now, I'm not saying I've never been stumped, and I'm not saying I've never come home and said, you know, Janine, I just think I blew that one. But most of the time, the Lord will show you what to say. You just got to be out there getting the conversation going. So, first question, if you were to die today, do you think you would go to heaven? The second question, depending on whatever they say, you can answer this, ask this question no matter what they say. You say, well, if you were to stand before God and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And their answer to that question is going to tell you their theology about eternal life and heaven and what it takes to go to heaven. And you will get all kinds of answers to that question, but their answer will then tell you what to do next. Now, if you went through the event, how many of you have been through Evangelism Explosion? You actually went through the course. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Keep your hands up. 6, 7. Anybody in here? 8, 9. 9 people out of 40. Okay. It's not a test of your Christianity if you've been through Evangelism Explosion. That's not what I'm saying. But it does reveal to me that these two questions may be new to a lot of you, even though to some of us, this is the way we've shared the gospel. When I was 15 years old, I went through this course called Evangelism Explosion, written by Dr. D. James Kennedy. And this approach, it's just an outline that you basically memorize to help you make sure you include the key elements of the gospel. I don't think it's the only way to share the gospel. I think there's even maybe better ways to share the gospel, but it's a way. And it, what happened to me when I went through this, and these were the first two questions I memorized, and I've asked these questions hundreds of times over my life since I was 15. What was amazing to me when I was learning the gospel and how to share it, as a 15-year-old, there were a lot of times I was going, oh, so that's how it works. In the process of learning to share the gospel was making more sense to me. Not that I wasn't a Christian, but the logic of the gospel is so clear when you are learning how to share it. And it makes all the difference in the world. So basically, these are two more questions that you can use. I'm not going to try to teach their whole class right now. The outline is very, you can look it up online. You can say Evangelism Explosion and Gospel Outline, and you can learn the going through their whole outline. You basically memorize the outline. They have transitional statements and illustrations even that you can use that are really good to keep a conversation alive. Another thing that you can, to get through the gospel quickly, is use what we call the Romans Road. Now, you know I like to use the bridge illustration, but there's a lot of times we use the same verses. The Romans Road is a group of verses from the book of Romans. The book of Romans is called the book of salvation, and it just helps you, and you just kind of memorize these verses. Let's just go through them real fast. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're explaining about sin and what sin is, and you use these verses to explain further that people fall short of the glory of God. That means they don't measure up to the magnificence and the perfection of who God is. And almost every time that I use that verse, I say, for all have sinned. I said, that means me, you, the Pope, everybody. All means all. I did it yesterday. I said, you know, we all have our sins, don't we? I always get, yeah. You know, just think about that. You're saying it's spirit-inspired words. You just shared a verse that came from the mouth of God, and God can use that immediately to convict a person's inner soul of their sin. That's the power of the word of God. Romans 6:23. You can share the whole gospel from this verse. For the wages of sin is death. That's the result of that sin. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So every word of that is filled with gospel. It's a gift. What does that mean? You don't earn it or deserve it. It's eternal life. Means it's lived forever in heaven. It comes in Christ. How did he do that? You go to the cross. Romans 6:23 is a great verse for explaining that. And then Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can explain, what does it mean to be justified? Just by having the verse there, it can kind of give you a track to talk on that we're justified by faith. And you can say, most people think it's by works. But it's not. It's by faith. You put your trust. We have peace with God. You're not at peace with God. Your sin is separated between you and God, and you're not at peace with Him. You're not friends with God. That's a problem. But you can have peace with God through what Jesus did at the cross, and you explain what He did at the cross, and then you go straight to Romans 5:8, which is a few verses later. God shows us His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get better. He died for us while we were sinners. He loved you that much. See, you're just using the Bible to springboard your conversations about the gospel. Romans 10, 9 and 10, on the road of the Romans road. People say, well, what do? You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is not just something you add on to your life. He's the Lord and the boss, the guide of your life. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses unto salvation. A little bit later in, I can't remember exactly which verse it is, a little bit further down, it says, so clearly, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord is with your mouth, you're calling on Him. You're calling on Him for salvation. That's the faith moment. Now, I still put Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 in there because I don't know how you would do that with the Romans road thing. It's maybe it's the median, maybe it's the shoulder of the road, I don't know. But I just always use Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 because it just tramples on the typical thinking that you're saved by works, that if your good works outweighs your bad works. That verse you can spend a lot of time talking, just reading through it. For by grace, explain what grace is, God loving you even though you don't deserve it. You've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Because most people are going to answer the question about what would you say to God if He said, why should I let you into my heaven? They're usually going to give you an answer that says, well, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can. You know, I try not to hurt anybody. I try to, you know, do, you know, good things. You know, almost everybody will answer the question that way. And so that verse just destroys that argument without you having to say, you know what? That's not true. Just let the Bible tell them that. Just read it to them. There's been so many times I've shared that verse literally and somebody just stares at it and they look up and they say, I've had this happen multiple times. I have never heard that before. And they've been going to church their whole life. I've never heard that before. So, you're just reading through the Bible together with somebody if you can get to that point. And what I'm saying is to get to the point of sharing the Romans road, actually sitting down with a Bible and you're talking with somebody, you don't just usually start like that. That's not natural. It can happen, but it's not natural. What's natural is you've gotten to know them, maybe you already know them, and you start asking questions. Hey, do you ever think about spiritual things? You could ask that to somebody that's your own parents. If you're like been trying to get your courage up to share the gospel with your folks, or you're at a family event and you know that cousin's been there, you see them all the time, but all these years you've never sat down and shared with them, and you're talking and you tell them about you, they're telling about them, and hey, do you ever think about spiritual things? Well, you know, now that you say that, yeah. Oh, well, what kind of things do you think about when you think of spiritual things? Well, and then they tell you that, and then you move closer and closer. So usually you don't get to the Romans road by just saying, hey, let me explain to you what the Romans road is. You don't do it that way. I am more and more convinced that the more the Bible is actually used and read, I always believed this, but that's just where the power is. When I was in college, I met a guy. There was a group of guys on our Georgia Tech campus that were passing out Bibles. They were called Gideons. And they were passing out Bibles up in the student center area. And they took a lot of heat, you know. These kids that think they're smart, you know, come up and start giving them a hard time. But most people took the Bible. So, you know, the Bibles, we're in class and the Bibles are, you know, sitting out or, you know, somebody's looking through them a little bit. And so one of my classmates, I said, I see you got one of the Bibles from those guys that were up on the hill. Did you ever read the Bible? And he said, yeah, I've never read the Bible. And I didn't know him that well. we're just an acquaintance. Jenny and I were married by this point, and we lived in married housing across all the way across campus. And I said, would you like to read the Bible with me? The joker said yes. I couldn't believe it. I said, how about if we just get together and read through some of the Bible? I mean, I've read the Bible, I'm a Christian. And I said, I'd love to do that with you. He said, I would like that. So he came over to our apartment, and I had planned to just read a little bit of Romans with him, kind of hoping to get to chapter 3, you know, just kind of start. And we ended up reading like half the book in one setting. And as we were reading, he was sitting there reading and I was reading. It was amazing. Stuff just kept coming out to explain and share, and things, the same things you would be able to explain if you were just reading through what you know that's right there in the text. And so things come to your mind, and he was genuinely interested. We did that a few times. I don't remember how many times. I can't tell you that he, you know, prayed to receive Christ, but I'm telling you, some very serious seeds got planted in that guy's heart, and I saw the interest in him of somebody who had never, ever read the Bible, just wanted to read the Bible. So if you can get yourself in a spot where you're actually reading the Bible or asking somebody to read the Bible, I think that that is where God really works. If it's just us reasoning somebody into the kingdom, that doesn't work. The power is in the Word. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And the gospel is the words of the Bible. So let's keep that in mind as we think. And that's why we use things like the Romans Road, because it's coming right out of the scriptures. Well, I just wanted to kind of just do some practical stuff tonight. And I hope some of that's helpful. Maybe just one thing here or there you might have grabbed onto and be able to use. Or maybe if nothing else, just to say, you know what? I'm going to get to the point where I can ask that question. Do you ever think about spiritual things? And I'm just going to trust God for what happens after that. I love living that way. I hope you do. I hope you love kind of living out on the edge a little bit. And you ask that question and just see what God does with it and see what he gives you to share with somebody. And I think that you will be amazed if you pray for the opportunity, and then when the opportunity comes, ask the Lord to give you the strength to take it. And let's just see what the Lord does. I hope that you'll share some of that, even if it didn't go good. You know, we're all in this together. Let's just share what God's doing and pray for each other in this way, and look for good opportunities and divine convergences this coming week and, you know, the rest of our lives.